Welcome to Season 2 of The Successful Strategist, a podcast on strategy, management, and governance dedicated to helping you address the most important questions any organization can ask. I'm Mitchell Muncy, a consultant who has co-founded or led five startups, for-profit and non-profit, spanning the media, public policy, and higher education. In these practical five-minute episodes, I cut through jargon and myth to offer you the same advice I give my clients. Good morning. This is the fourth in a series of episodes on why we can't do without a strategy. Last time, we saw that there is almost certainly no best solution to our organization's challenges. We can't avoid evaluating viable but imperfect alternatives, and without a strategy to guide us, evaluations are impossible. Today, we'll explore another reason we need a strategy. Everything in our organization is connected. It's human nature to isolate and focus on whatever plan, program, or function we're working on right now. But each of our organization's activities constantly affects all our other activities. We often forget, or sometimes ignore, that no matter how much we want our organization to do, it's the same people, working from the same pool of resources, who must do it. We know in the abstract that our personnel and resources are limited, but when we want to pursue a new opportunity or expand a current project, we hope that we can fit it all in if we and our colleagues work just a little harder or just a little better. This is why most organizations are in competition with themselves in some way, meaning that at least some of their key activities succeed only at the expense of other key activities. We can have a problem of self-competition even if we're not overtaxing our organization. We can see this, for instance, in nonprofit fundraising. Nonprofits are often advised to use a broad range of fundraising tactics, but research shows that, on the contrary, the more financially stable a nonprofit is, the fewer tactics it likely uses. Different tactics require different capabilities. People who are experts at winning government grants usually aren't also experts at direct mail campaigns. Many approaches to management focus primarily on excellence in individual activities, but our organization's activities can be excellent individually and still cause trouble for each other. Southwest Airlines purchases only one type of airplane, and its maintenance crews service this plane very efficiently. This reinforces Southwest's ability to offer low ticket prices and quick flight turnarounds. Other airlines don't want to commit to just one type of aircraft. So even if their maintenance crews are excellent, their aircraft selection interferes with, rather than reinforcing, their ability to offer low prices and quick turnarounds. What makes organizations successful is that they're unique, and uniqueness comes from building a system of activities other organizations can't or won't copy. Uniqueness does require that we do some things better than anyone else, but this is exactly the reason we can't be world-class at everything. To be the best at one or two things requires being merely satisfactory at many other things. Nonprofits that earn most of their income from government grants may have no direct mail program. Southwest doesn't offer many of the amenities of other airlines. Our strategy, our hypothesis about how our organization will be successful, allows us to fit our activities into a mutually reinforcing whole by specifying which of our activities are the most important and which can even be eliminated. We know we have a real strategy when each of our activities is successful precisely because of the way we perform all our other activities, and the value of any one activity can't be separated from our whole system. My suggestion for today is ask whether your organization deliberately chooses which activities must be done extremely well and which need only be done competently. Or is everything a priority, as a client once told me? Next time, we'll discuss a fifth and final reason we need a strategy. Without it, we can't spot weaknesses in our plans in advance or effectively evaluate our results afterwards. Most people learn about podcasts from friends and colleagues. If this episode was helpful, please take 30 seconds right now to recommend The Successful Strategist to one other person, and be sure you haven't missed any of the previous episodes. If you'd like to receive my twice-monthly newsletter, which includes show notes and a summary of important ideas about strategy, management, or governance, sign up at thesuccessfulstrategist.com. I'm glad we could invest this time together. Remember, being a successful strategist doesn't require specialized training or unique insight, just a commitment to asking the right questions. The Successful Strategist is a production of Prospera LLC, a consulting firm providing strategy development, nonprofit due diligence, crisis management, and interim executive management to mission-driven organizations and philanthropists. Learn more at ProsperaLLC.com. This is Mitchell Muncy. Talk to you next time.